Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Free to Find in the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We are joined by Michael. Michael is of the band Bear Fight. Michael, how's it going?
Going great.
Awesome. It's so good to have you on today's show.
Yeah, totally. It's great to be here. Yeah, thank you so much.
Awesome. So, Mike, I'm so excited to talk with you guys. You guys are on this amazing trajectory, and you actually just released a new single called She. Tell me a little bit about the song and kind of what is the story behind it.
Well, we're really excited to finally be releasing. It's been in the works for a while. We just released it on Friday. Like you said, it's gotten some great, great traction on Spotify and other, you know, streaming sites and stuff like that. So the song itself was written actually about a year ago. I was staying over, me and my buddy actually were like house sitting for a friend of a friend. And without permission, we kind of turned their house into a studio. And we had a few songs that we had written at that time in that little space that we kind of made out of the living room. And She was a song that I had just written in, like, honestly, like 10 minutes. It was a really short, simple song. And it was inspired living down in the desert, living down here, and things like that.
Wow. Man, that is awesome. I know that you kind of, like you said, you made your friend's place into kind of like a makeshift studio. Do you feel like doing so kind of helped to help you with like the creative process in, you know, creating the song? And
oh, absolutely. Oh, totally. That was the main catalyst in bringing everything together that summer, because what would happen, you know, every artist needs a place to where they can just completely just be with them and the music and the creative process. And that was the perfect place, because at the time no one was living there. So it wasn't like there wasn't even a TV. There was absolutely no TV, no cable, no anything. There was barely any like lights on or anything. So it was perfect. It was just, think of just like an empty living room with some furniture, and it was perfect because there was no distractions. It was in the middle of the hot summer, 120 degree weather, so you're not going outside. Unless you're taking a smoke break or something. But other than that, yeah, it was the perfect space to do a lot of this.
Man, that's awesome. I'm super excited because I know that you guys hail from Coachella, California, and
right.
You know the name Coachella is like synonymous now with this huge, you know, multi-genre music festival, but, you know, for you, it's home. I guess, what is it like being from such an iconic place now?
Well, it's funny. It's become so iconic in the past few years that it changed just right before our eyes, basically. You know, back in the early 2000s, it was more of an indie rock fest for real, like, diehard, almost avant-garde type of musicians and fans of that kind of stuff. And now it's become so mainstream and, like you said, so multi-genre. So I think it kind of mirrors and just helps our perspective of the music industry and the way that everything's going nowadays. So we could see it firsthand. And what was funny is one of the years they were doing an entire, I forget what station it was, but it was a really popular station right next door to our drummer's house. We could literally hop there, look over the wall, and see bands like Manchester Orchestra or
Holy Crap,
the Black Keys or whoever was in the house that day. They had just rented out the house right next to our drummer. So we
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, so just living in the desert, being surrounded by that, it really, like, it kind of matured us early and helped us figure out, you know, the ins and outs of the industry and especially, like, the progression of the industry.
Absolutely. You guys have managed to blend together the fundamentals of indie rock with like the principles of blues.
Right.
And that is something that, you know, not a lot of bands can pull off so well. Tell me a little bit about kind of like what the deciding factor was on, I guess, creating this, you know, this just amazing sound that you guys have. You know, it's something that, you know, the blues is something that you really have to kind of feel in your soul, your spirit.
Right.
You know? And so tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think that not knocking any other genres or anything, obviously, but I think that there's something to be said about a musician or a band of musicians that can carry blues music and that can carry traditional musicianship skills. And that's something that we've always just, like, been keen to, is just, you know, using our musicianship in the best way possible, because we want to push ourselves as musicians and as creative writers and all that. So I think that's where that comes in. And the main thing, would just be that the blues and that soul music, it all originated back in early America, coming over from other continents, and that sound we believe to be timeless. So you listen to that sound 50 years ago, it was still as energetic, still as amazing, and you listen to it now, and it hasn't changed much, but just the elements have changed, and it's just a timeless type of, you know, expression, I think. So that's why we enjoy it so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to talk to you a little bit more. I know you guys just released this new single, you know, just like not that long ago, about a week or so ago.
Right.
Do you have any plans for a full length in the near future?
Yeah, we have one other single to back it up coming out later this month. That's a really, we did it with this last song, She, and it's really great. And after that, we'll be releasing probably two more singles, actually, throughout the summer, and then follow it up with, by then we'll be talking to labels and getting some funding or investors, something like that. And then at that point, we'd really want to go in with that kind of money and make a really incredible record. So maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Very nice, very nice. Spring and summer is, you know, rapidly upon us. It's, you know, it's basically here. And I know that a lot of bands use this time to tour and, you know, get on with festivals and such. Do you guys have any plans for any upcoming, like, festivals or any concerts that you're doing?
We're talking about doing a show down in the desert in between the two Coachella weekends. We'd be doing it with some old friends of ours, desert bands, but it's really cool when we go out there during that time, the Coachella time, because there's industry people, there's musicians everywhere, there's, you know, music lovers and music, you know, people just everywhere. So that's something that we're excited about. On top of that, we're really focusing on these two releases, making sure everything behind the scenes is going well. And into the summer, we'll be recording. So as far as shows go, it's going to be tough to balance because we've been super busy, thank God. But I think recording will be more on the top of the list, and then shows will come as we release more music and our name becomes more, you know, popular.
Absolutely, absolutely. I saw that you had worked with Adam Castillo, I'm probably butchering his name, at Grandmaster Studios. What was it like working with, you know, such an iconic person?
Well, it was really cool. Adam's in The Colorist, and I'm not sure if they are specifically around anymore, but they were a really, really great band and did a good run there for a little bit. And working with Adam was really cool. He had a bunch of amazing gear. He really understood the vibe of where we were going. And he would always talk about that. He would always be like, okay, is the vibe right? You know, the vibe's got to be right.
Yeah,
and it was cool because he had a lot of vintage gear, a lot of, you know, guitars that were made 40, 50 years ago that still sounded amazing and had a character to them. So we were lucky to be able to use his means of, you know, expressing that type of thing. And then going to Grandmaster was incredible, where, you know, almost all No Doubt records were done. There was, you know, a piano there that was just on tour with Aerosmith. It was like there was, I guess, the rumor was that it was George Harrison Bentley was in the garage of Grandmaster. So we got to see that. It was really cool. Yeah, that studio was also, you know, built in like the late 60s or the 70s. So, you know, the atmosphere was great all around.
Very nice, very nice. Tell me, what is it like for you on a personal level when you perform? I know, you know, a lot of musicians, you know, have different feelings, you know, when they perform and, you know, getting ready to perform. But personally speaking, how do you feel? What goes through your mind before, during, and after each performance?
I think I like to tell myself that I never get nervous, but I think the fact is I get extremely nervous and I just never admit it. So
yeah.
I don't even know why. And it's been, and we've been performing for a really long time. I mean, we as a band have been together as buddies and friends, been playing together since, you know, high school, and the drummer and I even like before that, middle school, just playing rock music together. So, and we're no strangers, you know, to the stage or anything, but I still get really nervous. But once the stage hits and once, like, the first lyrics happen or the first chord hits, I kind of just, it all just becomes muscle memory, honestly. And it's almost like I'm not thinking at all at that point. You know, I'm just letting it go because I'm not really thinking at all once I get onto the stage. But before that, it's kind of a little kind of check.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to ask you, do you remember your very first show and kind of like what your feelings were? I guess when you first started your very first show, did you envision that, you know, you'd have so many others, I guess, in the pipe, so to speak?
No, well, I mean, shit, man. My first show was, I mean, I was probably like 13 or 14. I was playing at just some music shop. They put on a little recital, but that was just me. And I didn't know what to think of it. I thought, I love playing music, and I really hope I'm not that bad to be performing in front of people. So that was earlier on. Yeah. And then when the band got together, the first show we ever played was actually in Old Town La Quinta at this kind of like divey, like, I think it was a Mexican restaurant at the time, but that thing changed all the time. I don't think it had stability, but we played there, and we played to just a bunch of friends and even family members in the crowd, and that was, like, one of the most exhilarating experiences of my life. So, I mean, playing with other musicians is just something that it's a crazy feeling. So we got to experience that, and after that I knew, I was like, okay, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Very nice, very nice. I know that you guys are lifelong friends, the guys that you, you know, share the band with, the group that you're in.
Yeah.
What's it like, you know, working so closely with your friends and just being a part of, you know, something so great?
Well, I mean, it's become really easy over the years because obviously we know each other. There's no surprises really with anything. We all know how to work with each other and handle each other really well. And we were forced to do that, like, at a young age. I mean, we all went to the same high school practically. So, yeah, it's really great. And even though maybe sometimes, you know, we don't see each other for a little while or this and that or somebody's busy, you always come back and it's just, like, almost like cousins where you just, you know, maybe not see them, but, you know, when you're back, it's, like, right where you left off kind of a thing. So it's really cool, unique bond that we have. So
very nice, very nice. I wanted to ask, where can our listening audience find out more about you and kind of keep abreast of what you guys are doing as a band?
Well, Instagram, it's Bearfight Official on Instagram. Our Facebook, if you look us up, Bearfight, it's Bearfight Band on Facebook. And then we're on Spotify, iTunes. I think we're on all other streaming platforms, SoundCloud, even Amazon, or Google Play, or whatever the kids are using nowadays. I don't know. We're releasing a single later this month, and you can hear all about it on those sites. Twitter as well, obviously, all the big ones.
Very nice, very nice. And I know we kind of hit on this just a little bit before, but I kind of want to recap. What can we expect from you guys in the coming months? I know that you guys have a lot of stuff that you're working on. What should our listeners keep an eye out for next?
Well, the next single called Harlem is going to be out on March 24th. And we're probably going to be releasing a little lyric video for She as well, the song that's already out. And we're going to be recording a lot, so we'll be pretty active on our social media sites, keeping everybody up to date with the process and kind of let them into the little world of how we do things.
Very nice, very nice.
Michael, I want to thank you so much for joining us on today's show. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
No, thank you guys so much. Just keep supporting local music, and pretty soon, even though it may not become local, that it was your doing in the first place as a fan. So thank you guys.
Very nice, very nice. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Guys, that was Michael from Bear Fight. Make sure to check out his band. We'll put the link to their social media and their site in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We are also on your mobile phone. If you've got an iOS device, an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iTunes store. Download the app, search our show name, you find it in the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Michael. We're also available in the Google Play Store. If you've got an Android device, you can search for us by going to Google Play Music, search Redefined in the Counterculture. You can download this episode, stream it, like it, share it with your friends, all free of charge. Lastly, we're available on Roku. If you've got a Roku television or smart TV or a Roku box, you can listen to us right in the comfort of your own home. You can listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge. Just go to the Roku channel store, search for our name, and you'll be able to stream this interview all free of charge.